Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you, radio listeners. This is your pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. I am blessed to be here this morning. I am blessed to be here this morning, knowing, praise God, that it is God that is here for us, and we are for Him. And we are giving God praise this morning because we realize, praise God, we can do nothing without Him. Praise God. We realize that we can do nothing without Him this morning. And I am just blessed, praise God, to know, praise God, that He is for me and I am for Him. Amen. This morning we are just thanking God, praise God, because He did give us a chance to see a new day. And I realized, praise God, this morning that without Him, who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nothing and I'm nobody without Him in my life. And Father, we are grateful this morning that you have allowed grace to, praise God, to wake us early this morning and give us, praise God, a roundabout, praise God, a chance, praise God, and wake us up, praise God, closing our right minds and letting us realize, God, that it's your grace, it's your mercy, Father God, because we are yours. Praise God. We are yours, praise God. And you provide fresh mercies for us every morning. Thank you for that fresh, fresh, heavenly sent mercy. And this morning, praise God, we are coming to you, praise God, with word, asking your Lord to bless your word, praise God, as you always do. Praise God, send out your word, praise God, with the anointing, that it may go forth and accomplish that in which it is sent, in the name of Jesus. And God, we are grateful and we are thankful, keeping us, praise God, in one peace, one mind. Keep us throughout this day, bind Satan, Satan. The Lord thy God rebuke you in Jesus' name. And Father God, bless our loved ones for and save them to the utmost. And Father God, let them know that you are standing with outstretched arms saying, come as you are, and I'll in no wise cast you out. Amen. And this morning, we're talking about, praise God, the word of God, because the word, praise God, is what matters. The word of God to stand. Everything else is going down. Except the word of God. And this morning we're talking about the word. The word this morning is going to take us, praise God, to another place, praise God, on our journey through the word of God. And the word is talking today. It is, there is sin that leads to death. There is sin that leads to death. In 1 John 5:14-21. And, you know, praise God, many years ago, people have asked the question if there's an unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin, which is applied to the Jews in the dispensation of the Old Testament. But this is not a sin that Christians can praise God, commit. However, there is sin that can lead to the chastisement of not God in certain circumstances. We'll take a believer's life. If it's important, that's why it's important that every believer understand this important truth that concerns the chastening of God. Remember, the word of God stated that those who he loves, he chastens. Mean I'm constantly on your trail. I'm behind you. I'm in behind you because I want you, praise God, to spend eternity with me. I want you, praise God, in my presence. And God would chasten those that he loved. See, the assurance of salvation. In 1 John 5:13, he gives the child of God a promise and assurance of eternal life. Eternal life is guaranteed for a child of God. I didn't say they're lost now. Listen to me carefully. Because many people say, yeah, but I'm a child of God. But see, if you do not have the Spirit of God, then you are none of his. That's the book. They that not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God. Now, you know, that would be, praise God, people get offended by that, but it's okay. I'm just giving you what the word would say. Now, based upon this foundation, the Christians enter into a closer relationship with the Lord. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, A-B-B-A, Father, Abba, Father. In Romans 8:15, 9 Galatians 4, 6, because you are sons. Sons. Now, let's not get that, praise God, confused, because he's not talking about just sons. He's talking about every child born of God and every believer. Because if you do understand, the Bible declares that there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. See, there is no gender sector in Christ Jesus, but we are all one in him. Amen. Because we are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Children of God, they can ask of the Lord and have the confidence that he will answer them with his will. You're not outside, but with his will. Now, saying there is a gracious limitation on God answering believers' prayers in that he only gives us what is best and he corrects us. He don't spoil us. He don't give you something just because you ask for it. He don't give you something because he wants you to have it. Like some of our parents, we give our kids everything they ask for and they still be disrespectful, still be, praise God, out of order. Then this is not what the Lord does. He give you what's best for him, for you, and he corrects you, but he give you what's best for you in his will. He always must be aware, we must be aware, that God does hear the prayers of his children. Once a missionary, you see, once he get that mission and you're on a mission, God hear your prayers. You don't have to try to get his attention by doing this or doing that, entertaining God. All you need to do is live right, stay in his word, connected to him, get in a relationship with him, and follow him, and God will hear what you have to say. Amen. You see, he hear that. He will hear that. He may not answer in the time frame we desire or what we want him to and when we want him to, but guess what? He will answer. It will be the proper response, which is best for you and I if you are a believer. Sin separates you from your God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He's given us eternal life. Prayer is a real sense, okay, having a oneness with God as a child of God, as a Christian lives for the Lord, confesses and turns from his sin, studies the word of God, and applies the principles of the scripture to every area of his life. He becomes more sensitive to the Lord's will and prayers, and pray more, okay, in the line with God's will, not his will, but God's will, as a process of a spiritual growth and spiritual development. The Christian's mind also has to be desires. His desire must be able to come and be more in the line with God. There will be a response. He heareth us. Literally means he grab our words, not your words. This is why it's important that you know the word of God. Nothing moves him but his word. Why? Because he is the word. The word became flesh and he dwelled among us. He is the word. He cannot deny his word. He cannot deny his word. That's why it's important that you know the word of God. Give him his word and watch, praise God, the miracle unfold before your eyes. See, that's what you understand. The only thing that moves the angels of God that he has given charge over our lives is only the word of God. You can say anything you want to say. The angels are not moved by what you want to do. They are moved by the word of God. Amen. They are moved by the word. You see, this is why it's important that we know it. Also, we must be ready in a real sense, having received the answer before it becomes reality. What a wonderful truth that is, praise God, to know that the Lord hears our prayers and he answers us just like that. Yes. When you move the word, he moves for you. Amen. As an assurance, it is in fact of God hearing believers in the fact he does not hear the prayers of the unbelieving or the unbeliever, meaning those that have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. He don't hear you. The devil answers his prayers too. The devil answers his children's prayers.
Do you not know the devil give you things like God give unto his children? But the only thing this is, you must understand in John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Note the condition, even to a believer, he must also do what? The will of God. Not just get saved and do what you want to do, but you got a will to come to follow. You got the will to follow. God only hears the prayers of the repentant from the lost person. He also does not hear, which means he does not regret the prayers of the believer who are in sin or who have unconfessed sins. See? You must understand God don't deal one hand to one and one to another. You must be a child of God in order to get the benefit of God. Sound cool, but it's true. Mm-hmm. You don't go and give your kids down to your stuff, what you're going to buy for your kids that they have deserved and have always fallen in line with you, and you're going to go down the streets and give it to somebody else, somebody else's kid. No. See, this is what God is saying to you. You have to repent of your sin. Become a believer in my word and in me and follow me. Learn of me. He says, take the yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Take it. Learn who I am. Don't ask nobody. You learn it. This is why I tell people, anybody that want to say anything about me, you don't know me. If you want to know something about me, ask God who I am. He ain't going to lie for you. He going to tell you what it is. Ask him. Go ask God, but you don't know me. Go ask sensitive about me. No. Ask God who I am. So God, who is she? Who is this woman named Ola Starr? Who is she? What is she? Let him tell you who I am. He know me better than I know myself. And the word declared, praise God, that if you ask and receive, not because you ask amiss. Who have confessed unto sin and sin. James said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. James also said to ask in faith. 1:6-7. It tells us that prayer of an unbeliever is what? Is worthless. My mama would say it's just like a wooden nickel. A wooden nickel is worth nothing. A wooden nickel. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. A wooden nickel? What? You can't even, baby, it's not even worth the wood it's worth on. Because you can do nothing with it. It means nothing. And this is why the Lord is saying to us, praise God, we must understand, praise God, that we're going to have to follow through with him, praise God, and do what he has called us to do, praise God, in order to be in fellowship with him. He has no respect of a person. He does not have a respect of a person. You see? We have to understand, praise God, that when God said he needs us to follow him and do his will, that's what he means. He means nothing different. Nothing different. He means just what he says. Amen. Nothing different. Praise God. And we have to make, praise God, and know that when we ask him this, James also echoed us, praise God, he told us that. He said, you must ask, but you must ask in faith. It tells us that prayers of the unbeliever is unworthy. The sin unto death, John gives some specific instructions and about praying for a brother who is in sin. You see, in John 1 John 5:6, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. But there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. John makes a distinction between the believer's occasion to failure that causes sin and habitation sin that is unconfessed sin. See, habitation sin is a sin that's unconfessed. In verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. And this is a chilling statement, but it is true. John used the unidentified art. A sin is it is referring not to the single particular sin, but to certain serious sins that people or persons may commit and not confess. It's dangerous not to confess your sins. There is sin, meaning it's a singular, that leads to death. It is not a particular sin. It is not the unpardoned sin of the Old Testament like we mentioned before.
It's actually in Matthew 12:31-32, Luke 12:10, and Mark 3:28-29. The unpardonable sin is in the context of this dispensation of the law. It is a specific sin, guess what, of blaspheming, the blasphemer, in which a person could credit the devil for the work of the Holy Spirit. This is a special circumstance, which involves blaspheming, cannot be duplicated. This is something you don't want to have a part to do with, because the Bible declares that every sin God can forgive you for except a blasphemer. You can't give a credit for what God is doing. Are you okay? This is why you need to know. This sin is attributing to the work of Jesus and not to the devil. You got to understand, you can't get, like God blesses some people with gifts, and they use a gift, and then they prostitute, and they give the devil the credit. God is the one that blessed you with that. There is sin that leads to death. It is one. The unpardonable sin. And the unpardonable sin, the unpardonable sin is the one that when you're blaspheming against God, you're blaspheming. If you want to know more about that, you can go to Matthew 12:24 and Mark 3:22. Praise God. And Luke 11:15. Mm-hmm. And the view here is in 1 John can be understood by looking at, if you go and look at Corinthians 11:27-28, 1 Corinthians. Some of the Corinthian church was sick, and some had died having committed the sin of not discerning the body and the blood of the Lord. What it means is this. They were, in fact, believers who lived lives in sinful, and sinfulness, and regarded, and then they also disregarded for the sacrifice that Christ made for their sin. The Bible tells you, some asleep, some among you are sleeping, because they did this damnable thing. What it means is that they were, in fact, believing who lived lives and in sinful disregarded for the sacrifice that Christ made for their sins by the sinful pattern of their life. They showed a very careless and disregarded for Christ's suffering for them. It would be like ridiculing or belittling a person who had given them their life to save yours. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and he scorns every son whom he receiveth. In Hebrews 12:6, a person who professes to be or professes to be a Christian and who live continuously in sin, it's a dangerous thing. Sin separates you from God. The Bible declares that the wages of sin is death. You're supposed to be a Christian, yet you're living a life like a hellion, continuing living in sin. And this is what he said, in sin, and there is no chastening in the life that's shown he is not saved. God does not chasten the unsaved who are not his children. However, now, it is a genuine, if you're a genuine Christian continuously sinning, God will chasten him, and that is the evidence he is saved. But see, God gives you a chance. God is a God of a second chance. He's a God of a second chance. God wants believers free from habitable sin. In First John 5:18-21, it says, The children of God does not sin. It does not mean the children will be perfect and never commit any sin, but rather that the Christian sins is completely forgiven. He therefore stands without sin before the Lord as to judgment in Romans 8:1. Now, what are you saying here? This is an example. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The true Christian is for all eternity forgiven of sin. Now, that does not give you the law or key to go out and just sin because you think you can sin. Because he that willfully sin shall be whipped with the many stripes. You shall be beat with the many stripes. That doesn't mean that, oh, God, I know I'm in Christ. I can just sin. No, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I would walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. There is therefore no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The true Christian is for all eternity forgiving of sin. All believers will sin
as 1 John 1:8-10 states, yet God will not allow a Christian to remain in a habitable state of sin. God will take the life of his child in order to stop him from sinning when he refuses to repent. Do you remember the Bible says to He said, God said he will, if he doesn't come and cut the life of the very elect, there will be no flesh saved. But it's the elect that he will be trying to save. This is not casually sin committed by a believer, but deliberately sin acts are done with the full understanding that God does not approve. The person who falls under this severe chastening of God is in a gross, he is a gross rebellion against God and further refuse to turn from their sin. God continuously tells us, sin separates you from your God. That's why he tells us continuously, repent every day, repent every minute. He says, if you have someone that done something wrong to you, forgive them, repent, repent, repent. Turn from their sin. In other words, when a believer sins, the Holy Ghost begins the conviction into their heart, bringing their attention to their failure. If they repent and turn from sin, as 1 John says, praise God, in 1:9, the Lord helps them overcome the sin so they will not continue to commit it. But now, however, if they refuse to repent, God not only brings conviction, but chastening with them. Well, you don't just bring that. And we would bring chastening with, praise God, with them and some type of difficulties in their lives. The chastening of God is a warning to turn from the sin and avoid the negative consequences of sin. God loves us and wants the best for us. It is the same as a parent who disciplines a child that is in error, who is endangering himself. If the child of God at this point rebels and refuses to stop the sinning, he puts his life in jeopardy, not in love. God will take the believer's life so as to stop this rebellious and its consequences in this life. The believer, my friend, who is committed to the Lord, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 say, is a new creature, and the old carnal nature will have less and less a hold on him as he serves and is obedient and living obedient life for the Lord. We must understand that doing just a few charitable acts is not serving the Lord. One must be altered to their everyday life. Living a Christian life is more than doing good works. Hello, somebody. It means a Christian will show the love and the nature of Christ in his life. As he grows in the Lord, he will sincerely be tempting to honor the Lord with his life. And then this is what we said the other day. Praise God, we got to understand, being saved doesn't mean you walk around with a big five in your hand, a cross on your neck, and it's weighing you down by the degree. It doesn't mean that. It means your life shines through. It's the Christ in you coming out of you. Amen. And John said that the whole world is controlled by the devil, and it is wicked, which is true. Clearly, that is an occurrence. We observe all that goes on around us every day, praise God. As time goes on, things become worse, and the indication that someone is manipulating the world's events and influencing people and wicked people to do all evil things, the nation and people are becoming worse in the sins they do, and no shame. John is saying that there is a conspiracy, and the devil is the one doing the conspiring. The devil don't want you to be saved. And remember, praise God, I preached to remember, the devil don't like you. The child of God is delivered from the grips of the sin and of death. When God saved you, he pulled you out of the muck and the mire clay. He set your feet on the solid rock. He gave you a brand new start. He enlightens and you know the truth. Get into the word and know the truth and what God's word say. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and there is eternal life in him. Nothing else, my friend. No other thing on this earth, in this earth, around this earth, and about this earth, you can find eternal life except through Jesus Christ. The leader is put in what you may call a pilgrim. And he's a stranger. You are a stranger passing through him. This is not your home. Don't try to get here to stay here. You're just a pilgrim passing through. You're a stranger here.
This is not the home of the child of God, who has eternal residence in heaven with the Lord. The lost world around us has only a carnal nature that has all the encompassing that bends towards what? S-I-N, sin. Yet the Christian has the very nature of God and is not comfortable in a world that seeks only after evil things. If you're comfortable here, then that means you don't have the mind of Christ. This world is not a place that you want to be comfortable in. Keep yourself from idols. In other words, let nothing come between you and your God. John warns us about letting sin have free course in our lives. Colossians 3 and 5, what was written to the believer and warned to us is mortify themselves. Mortify therefore yourselves, your members, which are up on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, the affection for evil, conspiracy, covetousness, which is adultery. To mortify means to put something to death, to kill it, get rid of it. Don't associate with it. Don't love it. Don't let it give in to you. Don't let it come into you. This is what he's saying to us. He's telling you, you can live here and not have to not be a part of these things. You can do it and not be a part of it. Praise the Lord. Paul instructed the Corinthians, and he gave the assurance that sin did not have the rule over their lives, and God was with them at every step of the way. God is with you. If you look to him, connect to him, get in him, and praise God and build a relationship with him, he is with you every part of the way, providing a meaning to escape the temptation and resulting sin, because temptation is the number one cause of sin in this earth today. Temptation is strong, my people. Do not say that it's not, because it is, but you got to have something more than yourself in order, praise God, to be able to overcome the temptation of the world. There has no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from adultery. 1 Corinthians 10:13-14. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, you're just a pilgrim passing through, believer, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that that is good, that what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God gives you a way out of your sins, out of your mess. He gives it to you. He provides it for you. He lets you know, praise God, even though you are in this world, but you are not of this world. You are not to be, God, to be a partaker of Satan's garbage, because sin will separate you from your God. Praise God. The Lord is saying to you, there is a sin unto death, and that sin unto death is that you, praise God, it's like a traitor, praise God. You believe when you get saved, and all of a sudden you get back going back to doing what you were doing, the devil will fool you. He will trick you. That's all he's out there for, to play tricks on your mind, praise God. But you must understand, if you become a new creature in Christ, the Lord is saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1. Listen to the word today. There is life in the word. Life is in the word. And if you get the word, you get life. Remember, my friend, arms and connected to life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, because the devil don't like you. And God is saying to you, because I love you, I chasten you. I run to you. I direct you. I set you in direction, praise God, and keep you from hurt, harm, and danger that the enemy has desired to set before you. I praise God, the snare
to entrap you into the world's, praise God, sinful games and nature. Keep your hand in God's hand. Remember, my friend, the Lord loves you, and he loves you enough that he gives you direction and a map to follow. Follow him today. And if you are not saved, you need to get saved. Know who Jesus is. Ask him to come into your life that you may be with him and he with you, that he can forgive you of all of your sins. And he said in the word, praise God, in Romans, the book of Romans, if thou could confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's an invitation to you today. Reach, open your heart. But today is the day of salvation. But remember, believer, there is a sin that leads to death. And that unpardonable sin is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. You be blessed. And I pray, praise God, that the word was enlightening to you today. Until this time, next time, this is your pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the anointed. You be blessed.